Nekdiev versus Holder. Mr. Block.
Thank you, Your Honors and Government Counsel. My name is Harold Block. I'm here today because I represent Emil Mektiev and his family members. This is an immigration case, denial of asylum. This gentleman and his family were citizens of Turkmenistan and indeed born in Turkmenistan. One different aspect of this case is that Mr. Mektiev also possessed a Russian passport because his mother had been born in Russia. And this was a something that came up in the court hearing with the immigration judge in terms of whether there would possibly have been any issue of resettlement in a third country, because the Mektievs, when they left Turkmenistan, stopped in Moscow, got a visa from the American consulate to go to the U.S., and then came to the U.S. Now, they didn't go directly from Moscow directly to the U.S. They went back to Turkmenistan briefly and then subsequently left. The immigration judge denied this case because he concluded that the level of harm suffered by the principal respondent did not rise to the level of past persecution. And unfortunately, as we look at the judge's opinion, he mentions the fact that Mr. Mektiev, in his initial arrest and interrogation by the authorities in Turkmenistan, held him overnight, beat him, questioned him, and then released him the next day with his head bleeding. What is not mentioned, however, but is certainly mentioned in the record, is the fact that the respondent contended that he, in fact, had been knocked unconscious from the blows that he received to his head. And that's prevalent and present in the administrative record at 735-39 and 189-92. Being knocked unconscious through the beating to a head is considerably more than minor injuries. There is also a discussion of the fact that the respondent contended that he had been threatened on a subsequent visit to the inspector with being injected by something that would make him remember things he didn't even know that he knew. Now, that is mentioned in the record in at 735-39 and 189-92, and also in his transcript at 000-124. Similarly, threats were made about the wife and the daughter of this gentleman. Now, if one takes the whole combination of the harm experienced and the threats that were directed to this gentleman at the time, it's my position clearly that the harm suffered by him is much more significant than that characterized by the immigration judge. It isn't simply minor injuries. I don't believe that anybody these days would contend that being knocked unconscious with blows to the head was a minor injury. It clearly isn't. This gentleman was indeed arrested on three occasions. The first time when he was beaten, held in custody in January of 2003, the second time when he was arrested in February of 2003, and the third time in early March of 2003. He was not held in custody on those last two occasions. This appears to convince the judge and the board that because he was not reinflicted with the same type of treatment the second and third time, that somehow or other one should overlook what actually had occurred to him. However, I think that it also should be taken into account that in Turkmenistan, a country who, quite frankly, country reports since 1991 have clearly demonstrated is a country that most accurately simulates the old USSR in the days of Joseph Stalin, that this is a completely different country. There aren't idle threats that are made. At any time, a person in authority can pursue those threats to the degree that they feel they should. Individuals do not have recourse to due process in that country. And even now, even after the President Niyazov, the gentleman who delineated himself as president for life, from 1991 until 1996 when he died, even though he's no longer there, the country is no different now. They had an election in 2006. It was a one-party candidate, a one-trick pony. That's what he was. And, you know, clearly the country reports show this was not an election. This was similar to what you have read about and heard in the past. In any event, in addition to the failure to recognize the full extent of the harm that this gentleman experienced, I believe that the judge clearly was wrong when he indicated he didn't believe that it was based on imputed political opinion. In Turkmenistan, if you oppose in any fashion the government or are critical or do anything that's considered to be an opposition act, you are clearly subject to being considered as an opponent. And as far as political opposition, there is no political opposition in that country. It just doesn't happen because it never has a chance to rise into recognition. Also the social group membership in which we also feel there's a nexus, I believe that clearly the social group can also be incorporated in the fact that this gentleman, Emil, was brought in for this treatment because initially his father, who had immigrated to the U.S. several years before that, was a former business associate of a gentleman named Duzhmiev, who subsequently was convicted as having participated in an unsuccessful assassination attempt on the life of President Niyazov. During the time subsequent to that unsuccessful assassination attempt, many people were indeed arrested. And when you get arrested in Turkmenistan, you have no idea how long you're going to be incarcerated or if you're ever going to come out. And many individuals have not come out. The country reports are very clear on what happens in Turkmenistan. Was it reasonable in the context of all of these circumstances for him to believe that he could not safely remain in Turkmenistan? I think it's completely reasonable. This is not a country that recognizes due process. It's not a country that cares about human rights. They even control access to the internet. Turkmenistan is clearly something from back in the Joseph Stalin days of the 50s. And even now, with globalization and communications having expanded the way they have, things have not changed in Turkmenistan. They still attempt to control everything that happens there. They control the printed media. The only thing they really can't control is the access to certain television programming that comes from outside of Turkmenistan through devices like satellite dishes. But otherwise, to the degree it's possible, they control everything. And it's clear to me that Turkmenistan is really a very special case. This is not a country that anyone can trifle with, number one. And if you are not within the main line in terms of the professed agenda of the country to preserve the country for native Turkmen and for people who do not question the government, then you are in a world of hurt. And this gentleman was, and I believe that unfortunately the judge overlooked that. I think that he should have made his determination in the context of the many country reports that have been present for the last 17 years on a continuous basis. I believe that I'll reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Surely. Thank you, Mr. Block. Ms. May Wendell.
May it please the Court. My name is Antu May Wendell. I represent the United States Attorney General. The question here is whether petitioners have shown that the record compels the conclusion that Mr. Mektiev was persecuted or has a well-founded fear of persecution in Turkmenistan on account of an imputed political opinion. They have not. The Court should apply the governing standard of review and deny the petition. First of all, Petitioner's Counsel has indicated that there were three arrests. There were none. If the Court were to refer to the record at pages 124, 133, 134, and 191, Petitioner even stated that each of those instances were where he presented himself to the General Prosecutor's Office for questioning in connection with a criminal investigation of individuals suspected of a presidential assassination attempt. The petitioner's claims here are premised on one instance of a beating that resulted in an injury requiring bed rest. It involved three interrogations, one 24-hour detention, the confiscation of a passport that was then returned. These facts are similar to that in the Preeler versus Ashcroft decision, where this court determined that such facts would not amount to persecution as contemplated by the Immigration and Nationality Act. Here, there simply isn't any past persecution. Moreover, petitioner hasn't established a well-founded fear of future persecution. When looking at the articles related to country conditions, then the articles indicate anywhere between 61 to 200 people were arrested, and yet petitioner here was never arrested during the three times that he was interrogated. The other problem is the fact that there weren't any arrests, and he acknowledges that there weren't any arrests that he was aware of since 2006. It's been about 6 years since petitioner had last met with the general prosecutor's office, and since that time, then individuals petitioner allegedly had any contact with or connection with were not only suspects accused of, but they have since been convicted of the presidential assassination attempt. Therefore, they're unable to establish a well-founded fear of future persecution. And in Yusovenovich, this court also determined that with the passage of time, that minimizes the possibility of establishing a well-founded fear of future persecution. The primary problem that petitioners have here is that they cannot establish that the record compels the conclusion that there was any nexus to an imputed political opinion. What we have here is a case in which there was a criminal investigation. This court has also determined that, well, if you have heavy-handed police tactics related to a criminal investigation, that by itself does not establish an inference of some sort of political persecution. You also have a petitioner who suffered no harm after the January 3rd interrogation. He was interrogated two other occasions, never met with any other problems. Moreover, he even acknowledges that the primary purpose of the interrogations was to cajole his father to return to Turkmenistan to testify in connection with the criminal investigation. None of these facts indicate or otherwise compel the conclusion that petitioners satisfied their burden of proving eligibility. Petitioners urge the court to reach a different conclusion from the board and immigration judges' decisions. Under the governing standard of review, the court cannot reverse the agency's determination unless the record compels a contrary conclusion. It does not here, and unless there's any other questions, I request that the court deny the petition.
Thank you, Mr. Block.
Again, what would compel the court to come to a different conclusion? When the immigration judge's decision is based on an assessment of the harm experienced that clearly fails to mention the most significant aspect or aspects of the harm, then I believe that is compelling in terms of inducing the court to come to a different conclusion. I simply cannot understand how a non-mention of something as serious as being knocked unconscious, which clearly has been demonstrated many times over to have residual harmful effects on anyone for whom that has happened, how that can't be considered serious. And I would also say that in the context of the threats of injections, this is nothing that was unique to the situation of this gentleman. In the country reports, it is demonstrated over and over again that one of the tactics that people use is to allege that a person is mentally ill and confine them to psychiatric hospitals. This is unique in Turkmenistan. They have psychiatric hospitals that are simply jails where they can't find something criminal, so they claim they're crazy. Unfortunately, this is a country that's unique, and I believe that one cannot distance themselves from the characteristics of this country in assessing the threat and gravity of the threats that were tendered to this gentleman. The judge found him credible. I believe that it's necessary to take it in that context. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Thanks, Ms. May Wendell. The case is taken under advisement.